How can mentoring and succession planning help you grow your career in technology?
I was one of the first EDI programmers, and then I just moved up. It took a while, though, 26 years, but nonetheless, tenacity and perseverance helped me to get to the goal.
Go from programmer to divisional CIO, what helped you? Any tips on how we can proactively find sponsors and mentors?
You can't just sit at your desk and say, they're gonna see me.
Yeah.
You have to promote yourself. Mm-hmm. Build your network, promote yourself. And Cheryl Bevel Orange, and you're listening to Tech Legacies Podcast.
How can mentoring and succession planning help you grow your career in technology? On this episode of Tech Legacies, I am joined by Cheryl Bevel Orange, former divisional CIO at FedEx, and we're going to talk all about that. Cheryl, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Fanny, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure.
I've been excited for this.
Me too.
Yes. So we're going to dive straight into it. Like, throughout your career, what has been the best advice that you've received and really helped you?
Well, I can say I've received a lot of advice. Having a career of 26 years at FedEx, you know, I've gotten lots of information, but I would say the most impactful things for me have been be your authentic self. That has stuck with me because, you know, I grew up in Alabama and always trying to, you know, be the best, do more, fit in. And so someone said, just be you. You are enough. You are uniquely you, and you bring certain things to the table that nobody else can bring. So be yourself and bring yourself to the table. That's the first thing. The second thing is to always be a learner, you know, be a life learner. You know, we know a lot of information. People are smart, but there's always something new to learn. And so be curious and make sure that you are continuing to grow yourself. And I would think the third thing is to volunteer and be humble. You know, get out into the community and see, you know, the people that we are trying to help in the community to get to where they want to be. And so if we can mentor and coach them and help them to have the basic needs that they need, they can be better, which makes all of us better. So I would think those are three things. They're not, you know, profound, but they have been, I took those to heart, of course, with a lot of other advice, as I've said, but I took those to heart, and that's kind of, you know, inside of me, and I take them with me everywhere.
I love that. So learner, authenticity, and volunteering. I'd love to dive actually a little bit deeper into this authentic part, because so often, like you said, we want to be who we think others are wanting from us, or to fit into the corporate mold. Any tips on how you found your authenticity, or like how you let it out?
Well, that was an interesting journey, because coming into corporate America, again, you want to fit the mold. Yeah. You know, for African American women, we straighten our hair, we, you know, try to look a certain way. And for a while, you know, I was in that mold as well, but at some point in my life, I came to a realization, and I think that point was early in my career. I had a something that happened to me. My brother was murdered. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that took me through a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And my mental state kind of changed a bit. And I decided, you know, life is too short. Mm-hmm. We are all here for a purpose.
Yeah.
And we have to live in our purpose. And to be able to do that, you have to be yourself. You have to bring those authentic qualities that you have and display them to the world, whatever they are. And so being authentic to me is just, it's just who I am. It's just core. And you feel so much better when you are just you and you're not trying to be an imposter. You're free, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you are free to do your best work when you are free to be yourself. And so I live by that. I try to embrace that for my team members and for my children, for my family. Everybody's got their own quirks. Everybody's, you know, different. Let's embrace that and see what we can, how we can benefit from it. So.
I love that. How did you end up in this career in tech? And like, was there something in your childhood that, that sparked that interest?
Well, when I was very, very small, I have a tight-knit family, and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And one time we were having our afternoon out. We went to town, yeah. if you will.
Yeah.
And we ended up at the bank. My grandfather had some work to do, some business to do at the bank. And so we went inside, and I was a little girl. I think I was like first or second grade, learning to write and cursive. Yeah. You know, I don't think they do cursive anymore.
I know. They should, though.
But, I love those things. Yes, yeah. But I was learning cursive. Mm-hmm. And we went in the bank, and my grandfather had to sign a piece of paper. He was getting a loan, apparently. And he signed an X. And so at that time, I'm a little girl, and I'm like, you know, what's going on? So I'm confused, and I'm like, Granddad, you signed an X. Yeah. My grandmother was like, hush. So when I got home, I asked my mother, because my mother was a second grade teacher. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she was always teaching something. And I'm like, well, why did he write an X, Mom? And she was like, well, that's his mark. Mm-hmm. And so I still didn't understand it, I don't think, at that time. But as I grew up and studied history, you know, I found out, you know, that was the mark of the person who could not read or write. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, when I really realized what had happened, you know, education was imperative to me. Mm-hmm. It was something that, you know, I had to get all of it. And so my parents never had to say, did you do your homework or how you're doing in school? Because it was something that I was going to get. So, you know, I'm gotten my master's degree now, and I'm thinking about my doctorate, so
nice.
We'll see. But education has been something that has driven me throughout my mm-hmm. career. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk and mentor and coach, I talk about education and also the life learning,
yeah.
life learner, where you have to
a hunger for learning,
yes.
almost, right?
Yes.
Rather
yes.
than just say, checkbox in school. It's like this hunger to learn.
Hunger
and be
to learn, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we have to do yes. as technologists, because technology is, it changes almost every day. You know, we're now into AI and Gen AI. And, you know, when I started programming, I programmed in Fortran and Pascal.
Oh,
and
I remember those days. Yes.
And so you can't do anything with no. that now. So you have to learn more. You have to learn about AI and what's happening in the world mm-hmm. so that you can stay relevant.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So when you first started at FedEx, what kind of role did you have?
I was a programmer.
Oh, wow.
So I was electronic data interchange, EDI programmer.
Wow.
And so I programmed some of the first maps for EDI maps for FedEx.
Ah. So the routes and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Ah. So, and mine was more so invoicing and working with suppliers and what have you. So it was more of that, not the trucking routes.
Mm.
So, but I was one of the first EDI programmers, yeah. and then I just moved up. It took a while, though, 26 years,
yeah.
but nonetheless, tenacity and perseverance
yes.
Helped me to get to the goal.
Any advice you'd share to our audience here as they're navigating their careers, to go from programmer to divisional CIO, is like what helped you, or what ingredients kind of helped you along the way?
I think I just shared tenacity and perseverance, or perseverance.
What does that look like to you?
To me, it is my career span. 26 years at FedEx, but for about 19 years, I was at the same level. And so for me, it was, and that was okay, because that time I used to raise my children and be an integral part of their life and help, you know, my husband build his business. He's a small business owner. But my career kind of stopped, if you will. And so perseverance for me was, okay, you've been here, but don't stop. You have to do something different to get to the next level. And so that's where I began to kind of take my own advice. You know, I would mentor and coach people, and I had to take my own advice and say, okay, you need to re-look at your network. You need to understand who your sponsors are. You need to see who you got coaching you. Are they the right people? And build my board of directors so that,
like, a personal board of
my personal board of directors, so that I could, you know, take the next step. And when I did that, it works. I'd done it before, but I just had gotten comfortable. And, you know, I tried here and there, you know, to get promoted, but I wasn't really serious. It wasn't really, you know, it was just something that I was doing because they said, well, you should probably try for this job. You'd be great for this job. But if it's not in your core, if it's not something that you really want, then wait for that job that is the job that's going to excite you and get you going. And that's what happened for me.
You mentioned mentors and sponsors. What is the difference, if you can help our audience kind of clarify that?
So mentors are people that, you know, talk with you. They help get you, you know, your career plan together. They, you know, coach you on how you're doing your current job. They are, you know, kind of talking to you in there with you, if you will. A sponsor is talking about you. They are in the room where the decisions are being made, and they're saying, you know, Fanny would be great at this particular job. Why don't we move Fanny? Why don't we interview Fanny? You know, let's see what Fanny can do in this role. They are the people that are, I use the analogy, I wrote a book, and I use the analogy.
Please show it.
Absolutely, please.
The courage
to continue navigating your corporate journey. But in my book, I use the analogy where your mentors or your allies are your backup singers. They're in the background helping you to be the best soloist you can be. But your sponsors, those are the people that are helping you to solo. They are out.
They're the music producers.
They're out, you know, putting you out there. They're getting you deals, if you will. They're getting you concerts and doing the things that they are supposed to be doing. As you said, your producers putting you out front. And so when you get in that role, you have to solo like you've never soloed before. So
I love that.
So that's kind of how I define the difference between mentors and sponsors.
Any tips on how we can proactively find sponsors and mentors?
Absolutely. So sponsors, I'll start there. Sponsors, we need to make sure that they are senior level, because you want someone in the room where you are not. But you have to have a connection. So that's going back to that authentic self. You have to find someone that you authentically connect with. And a lot of times you can find them on projects that you may be working on. You know, who is the executive sponsor of that project? How have you helped to deliver something that helps them reach their goals? And so once you kind of make that connection, then you can build on it. It's not normal for you to just go out and ask some random person to be your sponsor. There has to be some type of a connection.
And then also, I guess, a give and take relationship too.
Absolutely.
Not just help me, get me a job kind of thing.
Yeah. A lot of times sponsors, I also talk about reverse mentoring in my book. A lot of times sponsors use the person that they're sponsoring as their reverse mentee or mentor, because a lot of times they're younger and they know more about, you know, what's happening in technology, AI, and all those things. And so they use them to keep up with what's going on, or even keep up with what's happening in the organization. So it's a give and take. Mentors are, you know, people that are in your day to day. So when you're coming new to a job, your mentor might be, you know, your first coworker that you meet that can mentor you from a culture perspective of the company. And then you might find someone that, you know, you might need some financial assistance of learning how to do the finances of various projects. And your mentor could be someone that helps you with that.
Great tips. Speaking of projects, as you kind of, well, 26 years, right? Was there a certain project that you're most proud of and really happy with the results?
Well, I would say yes. I've done a lot of great projects.
I bet, yeah.
But there was one that was really early on in my career that was very, very impactful to FedEx. And I was the lead manager on helping FedEx kind of come into the 21st century. So before the project that I had, FedEx would take airway bills, which was the paper bill that people filled out to ship their package. Well, FedEx only had that, and they only took credit cards. And credit cards, you had to do the swipe thing.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Those things always got stuck.
Yeah. And so the project that I had was to bring FedEx again in the 21st century with a point of sale system. So we created the code for a point of sale system that allowed FedEx to take cash, credit cards, and we had to retrofit all of the locations around the world with a point of sale system and a cash drawer. And it was amazing. We had to teach people how to use the point of sale system. So it was kind of the first kind of computer-ish type of thing in the locations. So that was monumental, because how can a business operate without taking cash and credit cards in these days? And now, you know, they have improved on it, because now you have the swipe and the, you know, tap.
Chip and
all of that. So, but it would not have been possible had we not had the foundation. And so those are the types of projects that I worked on at FedEx, which made it so exciting because you could see how you were bringing value to the company.
I want to pause real quick here and give a special shout out to one of our sponsors, CG Infinity. I've worked with them for several years now, and I can truly say that they have one of the best workplace cultures that I've ever experienced. And they specialize in a variety of industries, especially energy, utilities, and financial services. And they serve them through their Salesforce, cloud, as well as customer experience services. So thank you, CG Infinity. And I hope you'll support them as they have supported us here at the podcast. And every city now has all kinds of FedEx locations.
Absolutely.
I still use them for all our, you know, especially around Christmas or even like sending things through business. Absolutely. So you're responsible for that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl. I also wanted to ask you, you know, there's obviously we have the highest of highs, and then there's also low points, and then the lessons out of that. Was there a low point that kind of taught you a valuable lesson that you'd like to share?
Well, I think when I talked earlier, I shared that I was at the same level for 19 years. And so although I took that time to, you know, raise my family, there were points where I felt like, you know, I should have gotten that job, even though I didn't feel like I probably gave it my best effort, but I should have gotten the job or the project. You know, I wanted that project, you know, I should have gotten that project. And those things take tolls on you.
Yeah. They add up.
They do. And I know they say you got to get 100 no's before you get one yes. But those 100 no's, you know, those take a toll on you. Yeah. So during that 19 years, there were times that I felt like, you know, is this really for me? Is this the company for me? Maybe I should go and do something different. But, you know, I learned that you just got to keep pressing on. You got to keep learning. You got to keep bringing yourself to work every day with the skills that you have and do them with excellence. And at some point, it will be your turn. So I'm not saying stay forever, but, you know, give it the right amount of time and you'll know when it's time for you to move on. But if it's not that time, give it all you got. And it will come for you, but you also, you have to build your network. You have to do that. You can't just sit at your desk and say, they're going to see me. You're going to have to build your network. They're not going to just see you. You have to promote yourself. Build your network, promote yourself, and do your best work.
I love that. Yeah, even it makes me think back to my early career, and I just kind of kept quiet, kept my head down, and did my work, and you hope that the work speaks for itself, but that's not enough.
We have
to use our voice and fight for what we believe. Not fight in like a kind of like aggressive way, but like just really
advocate.
Speak up,
yes.
Advocate for ourselves. Absolutely. And then as you kind of moved up the corporate ladder and you reached the middle and senior level, what did it take to then become divisional CIO?
I think for me, it was a lot of building my brand. You know,
what does that mean?
So my husband says I'm the underdog lover. And so I try my best to help everybody that, you know, doesn't have that spotlight, doesn't have the normal characteristics. You know, I try to go after those people and say, you know what, here is a little secret sauce. You're great, but let's do this and get you in kind of the spotlight. So that was kind of, again, you know, what I had been doing. I've been playing, you know, the underdog coach. And so I had to say again, use your own information. Go out and get you a sponsor. You've got it. I had to have it. And so when I got a sponsor or two, I was able to then make some moves. I was able to do some different things. And I had to work on projects. Before I was promoted up the corporate ladder, I had to, it was almost like proving yourself. And, you know, as a woman, you probably shouldn't have to, but we do. We have to go out and we have to knock it out of the park every single time. And, you know, failure wasn't an option, but, you know, there were some failures. And you try to keep them, you know, to a minimum. But that's where you learn. You got to fail and learn, but fail fast. And get
and
back
pivot.
Up. So having sponsors and taking my own advice that I'm giving to others, I had to do that in order to move up the corporate ladder.
And then as you moved up, there's also spots to fill, right? Succession planning. Because to move up, somebody has to fill your former spot. Share some of the advice that you've had to do in terms of succession planning and filling the roles as you moved your way up?
I have been a person that has benefited from succession planning. And so I saw how it worked firsthand. You know, my person kind of coached me and got me ready for a role. And then when it was time, you know, I was already doing the role. I'd already shown. And so the succession plan kind of worked because I was ready.
Yeah.
So I had to take that same thing and work backwards and work with others to have them be ready, stretch them so that they were ready. But the first thing is you have to identify who your successors are. And I do some coaching with C-levels now that, you know, they don't know who their succession person is. And so we have to do the work for them to really think about it. And the person might not be there today, but how do you get them there so that when you're ready to move on, they're ready to hit your slot?
So and what's a key like element that you look for in a successor?
I would say leadership. You look for leadership. You look for empathy. You look for, you know, all the characteristics of someone that you would want to take your place, that the organization needs. Because sometimes what I've found is successor, the person that's in the spot, they know their limitations. Like they could be, you know, not real good at execution. And so they will say, okay, my successor, because of where the organization is, they need someone that can, you know, be have this mindset.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, as leaders, we do put people in place, you know, to fill our, you know, gaps, so to speak. But when you're doing succession planning, you have to do that same thing based on what the organization needs. And you know where they're going at that point. So there's a lot to succession planning, but when you do it great, it works so smoothly that you know the organization or the company doesn't miss a beat.
And you're lifting the next generation of
leaders
up.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, I want to get to your book here. What made you write a book?
Well, there were so many things that I was going through in corporate America. That I was thinking about my children and I was like, you know what? I had this road bump. I'm going to write this down because 15 years from now, I'm not going to remember it to tell my children. So I'm going to write it down. So I started writing the book actually for my children because I'm a first generation corporate American. And my mother was a teacher and my father was a coal miner. And so they had no idea what I was going into. And so I was like, I'm gonna give something to my children so that they, if they choose corporate America, they will have a blueprint. But as my career progressed and I started coaching and mentoring others, I started pulling out those sheets that I had. Well, I actually started typing in my computer. And I started pulling out the different exercises that I said, oh, you know, I'm going to go through this with Alex and Rashad. Those are my two children. And I started going through it with the people that I was coaching. And I said, you know what? This book is going to be more meaningful to others than or the same meaningful to others as it would be to my children. And then over a pandemic, I put the leadership lens on it. So, you know, as leaders, how do you coach first generation corporate Americans? What do you do? You know, how are they different? You know, how can they be your mentees and mentors with that reverse mentorship? How can they? So I put that lens on it. And so this is a 25-year journey for this book. But it has been very helpful to a lot of people already based on the feedback that I've gotten.
Cheryl, and I want to get another close-up of this book here, Trey. If you could hold that up in the front cover, because When you were saying your story, and just lean it down just a little bit, there we go. I suddenly saw your grandfather, not that I know him, but like from signing his name with an X to you as his granddaughter, writing a book, like, look how far it's come on that journey.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Yes. Did he get to see your book?
He did not. He did not. But he's seeing it from heaven.
Absolutely.
But yes, going from someone who cannot write at all to the granddaughter who wrote for him on his behalf.
So it gives me tingles.
Yes, yes. So it is quite a journey. But absolutely. You also see on the book, on the cover, these are people helping each other, women and men.
Yeah.
All about helping, pulling each other up. And that's what this book is about. It's about pulling each other up. My grandfather could not write, but he always talked about school. And he saved a whole $200 for me to go to school. Oh, can you imagine that?
I love it. It's so meaningful.
So, you know, he was helping and I am continuing to help.
Beautiful. So the courage to continue Cheryl's legacy.
Yes, yes.
We have a fun little tradition here where I have a deck of questions we have no idea what they are. and it's kind of like just a little fun surprise. But they're from a podcast called The Diary of a CEO. And so these are all questions that other CEOs asked each other. And so let's pick a question.
Let's see.
And then just read it out loud and then answer it.
How many times have you properly been in love?
Oh, okay.
Properly. How do you properly
be in love?
I don't know.
It's always a surprise what question we get.
Let's see. Well, I am in love with the love of my life, who is my husband for 30 plus years.
Yes. How has that helped your career?
Well, having someone who has supported me has been very helpful.
Yeah.
But we kind of took turns because early on, my husband was in the military, so we had to move. Quite a bit, and then we kind of got stable and he retired, and now, you know, he's a business owner. But and so it was my turn to grow, but he has definitely supported me. Properly been in love, I would say my grandfather was probably my second love. My first love was my dad, or is my dad. He's still living. He's almost 80. So I've had some really great men in my life,
love
I will say.
It.
And it has, they have taught me how to love and to be loved. So.
And hence empathy, right?
Hence empathy.
In leadership. Yeah. Well, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you so much for sharing of your knowledge, advice, and insights, and your time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me. Awesome. And I want to give you this, gift you with this book.
Oh, gosh. Thank you.
So
thank
enjoy
you.
It. And
yes.
For
me, it's always about courage, right? It's like, I think I know I can do something, but like, just like, powering through and having
powering
that courage.
Through, absolutely.
So everyone, be sure to check out Cheryl's book, The Courage to Continue, and then be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Tech Legacies, and leave us feedback on the various podcast platforms that this is on as well, such as Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify. And be sure to tune in next time on Tech Legacies. Thank you, everyone.
at Tech Legacies, we're all about helping technology professionals grow and succeed in their careers by sharing the advice of top technology executives. If you're looking to take your career to the next level and become a technology executive yourself, we have an exciting program to tell you about. It's called the Tech CXO Excellence Program by Tech CXO Launchpad, and they are our partners. They're offering an immersive, multimodal program developed and taught by current and former CIOs and CTOs who are passionate about building the next generation of C-suite technology executives. And you'll experience a full immersion into the C-suite world and also get to collaborate, network, and experience capstone-style projects with other professionals. And this is all while benefiting from face-to-face interactions in person with industry guest speakers. It is exclusively for a new level of C-suite executives and C-level direct reports and second directs who are earmarked for succession planning and career growth. To join their waitlist, register your interest at www.techcxolaunchpad.com. That's techcxolaunchpad.com. This program has everything you need to take your career to the next level.